Have your Bible this morning. Let's go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 2 in your Bibles. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 2. And we've begun our series on the book of Proverbs and just looking into it. And it's really an amazing book. There's lots of good things in the book of Proverbs that are very helpful. And Proverbs is not one of those books that's really high, way above us. You know, it's not like you can't reach them. The truths that are in Proverbs are truths of wisdom that give us practical everyday life. You know, you need wisdom in just everyday life that you live. Sometimes we forget the value of having true wisdom, but we must never forget or take wisdom for granted in our lives and the value of what God's wisdom can bring us. And so we're going to look at some things today. And the lesson today in chapter 2 is entitled The Pursuit of Wisdom. Pursuing wisdom. What are we to do with wisdom? How are we to pursue it? Well, we're going to talk about that here in Proverbs chapter 2. And so follow along with me, please, the first 9 verses. And we'll read them and then get into the lesson this morning. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible today. And Lord, we ask that you teach us these truths of wisdom that are found in the passage that we are going to look at today. And Lord, we just pray that you give us a heart to know wisdom. Give us a mind to pursue wisdom even more. And Lord, we pray that you teach us the importance and the value of it this morning as we look into this lesson. And we ask that you'd use it. Bless it, we pray. It's upcoming hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have looked at chapter 1 last couple of weeks, and we found out some things about wisdom in chapter 1 that set a foundation for our lesson today. Now, we talked last week about how wisdom does not come naturally. Nobody's just born with wisdom. Did you know that? Nobody is born with wisdom. In fact, when I look back over my life, you know, some of the dumbest things I've ever done in life was when I was a kid. Anybody like that? Yeah, amen. Hopefully we're getting better, right? But I look back at my life and, you know, I did some crazy things when I was a kid. You know, I found a cat one day and I wanted to keep the cat. And crazy me, I was probably five or six. And I had a bag, and it was shaped like a bowling bag. And I wanted that cat, so I put the cat in my bag and zipped it up, brought it home, put it in my closet. Went to school that day. I went home. No, the cat didn't die, so don't go there. Okay, the cat didn't die. It should have, but no, it didn't. It didn't die. The cat did not die. But I went home, I looked in my closet, and the bag was gone. Where'd my cat go? What happened? My mother came in. She said, son, you can't keep a cat in a bag. And she let the cat go. Well, that was a pretty dumb thing, amen? And now I have a cat and I have to feed the thing. So I don't know if I really transferred enough wisdom over to that. But, in our life, we should really be growing in wisdom, shouldn't we? I mean, there's a lot of things that will give us wisdom, like experiences in life. If you have a bad experience, it's always important to learn from that experience. Really? It's good. If you have an experience in life where you made a mistake, it's good to just take a minute and try to learn how you could be wiser in that situation. It's good to take stock of how we live our life every day, isn't it? Because sometimes we just get busy and doing things and putting out fires during the week, but we never stop and really say, Lord, I want to pursue wisdom so that my life can be a blessed, godly, wonderful life. Well, and that's what the lesson's about today. It's about pursuing wisdom. And if we don't come by it naturally, we need to get it from somewhere, don't we? And maybe some life experiences will teach us that. But, you know, the Bible teaches us that God is the originator of wisdom. And I'm glad that God gave us the Bible, the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, we would not know the wisdom of God. We would not know how that wisdom can be in our life. And so God was gracious by giving us His Word. And, you know, the more you're in this, the more wisdom you'll have. The more this book is part of your everyday life, the more wisdom your life is going to have, the better off your life is going to be. And that's because God is the creator of man. If my watch breaks, I'm going to go to the one who made the watch because he knows that watch. And he knows what it takes to fix that watch. But now, it's the same way in our life with God. If we get broken in some area of our life, or even if we are doing well as a Christian and we're living for the Lord and doing the best we can to serve the Lord, there's still more wisdom that we can grab a hold of. There's always more wisdom of something that we can learn and know. You know, you've heard the phrase, don't work harder, work smarter. In some ways, as we serve the Lord, I think there is a point in which how we do what we do ought to incorporate wisdom in everything that we do in our Christian life. As a Christian, as a child of God, we do that. So let's look today, and there's really only one point in verses 1 through 9, and that is this truth, the beginning of wisdom is the pursuit of wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom. Now, let's look at some things that the passage reveals. Verse 1 says, my son. Now, as you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to see this phrase again and again. My son. My son. These are words of Solomon that he has learned from God that he desires to pass on. You know, that's something important about wisdom. If you've learned something in life, pass it on to your children. Amen? When they're at an age where they can absorb it and really understand it, pass it on to them. Amen? Wisdom is not just meant to be kept inside of us. It should be kept inside of us, but it should also be passed on. So that's why Solomon is saying here, my son, and he's speaking in the second person. He's saying, my son, if you'll receive what I'm saying, God's words will be wonderful commands to us. Now, how many of you would say that you followed everything that your dad told you to do when you were growing up? Is there anybody like that? You're supposed to tell the truth in church, you know. She never put a cat in the bag. That she didn't do. Amen. That's what I taught her. Don't put the cat in the bag. Amen. And so she knows that. So, but how many of us ever did everything that our dad told us to do? Or sometimes we did the things our dad told us not to do. I know none of you are like that, but I did have things like that sometimes in my life. And, you know, I found out the result of it, and I found out why my dad was telling me not to do it. There was some wisdom behind what he was saying. Amen? I'll never forget, I bought my first car. My first car was a 72 Oldsmobile Toronado. And I bought it for $250. It was a beauty. It had, it was Army Tank green. And the inside had the green avocado velour seats. How many of you remember that? You don't remember that? Some don't remember. But that's what it had. I drove it. I bought it, drove it six blocks. It broke down on me. I had to put a new front end wheel bearing on it. It cost me more than the car. And six blocks. Boy, I got the lemon of that day, I'll tell you. But my brother, I got that car fixed. My brother-in-law said, hey, bring your car over. I want to show you a few things. He taught me how to change the oil. He taught me how to do this. He said, this is what you need to check, and here's why. See, I could have said, who do you think you are? You think you're smarter than me? He was. But what he was trying to do was impart some knowledge that he had learned in life. And you see, that's what the Bible is about. It's about God giving us things of wisdom for our life, for our benefit, for our blessing. And so wisdom is important. Now notice the first thing here, verse 2, is so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Now notice, first of all, the ear has to hear it. The ear has to hear it. There's been times when I didn't want to hear wisdom. And there's times when I did not want to hear it. But if you realize there's some wisdom behind that principle. Amen. For example, the Bible teaches us not to have the wrong kind of friends. Well, does that mean we're better than anybody else? No, it doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. There's the wisdom behind it is that the wrong type of friends will influence us in the wrong direction, and we might go in that direction also. And so God puts wisdom in there of who we ought to be close associates with and who we ought to be friends with. It's not because God is trying to stifle our life. It's because God is trying to give us a blessed life and a joyful life. So the ear has to hear it, doesn't it? Now, there's two words I want you to notice about this phrase. First of all is incline. Incline thine ear. Now, notice, it's this ear that is listening. It's this ear that's ready to listen. Inclining your ear. In other words, you want to listen to something higher and better than where you are already. So that thine ear inclines to wisdom. You see, all wisdom starts by hearing it. And, you know, if you don't hear it, you ever heard something that just, you knew it was right, but it didn't really make sense? And if you didn't follow it, you found out why. There were certain things. So he's saying we have to hear it. And you know God's word's that way. If God's given us a will. You have a free will. God has given you a will to either reject his word or to hear his word. And You know, somebody asked me, well, why wouldn't God just make us, if he could make us hardwired to love him and serve him? Why did God give us a choice? And the reason is because he wants us to love him in return by our own choice, by our own will. You know, if you're forced, if you force your, you know, think of what kind of love it would be if you forced your children to love you. That's not real love, is it? Love is when they choose to do it out of their own will. And it's the same with God. Love is when we go to God out of our own will and say, Lord, you know, I'd like to hear what you have to say. And that is wisdom. That's wisdom. But, you know, think about this. If I'm already at this mindset that I know everything, will I incline my ear to want to know something? No. Uh-uh. Because the ear has to say, the ear has to realize, you know what, I really don't know everything. I'd like to learn more and more and more. I read a story about a man who had the highest IQ. It was way over 200. And they asked him, what was his secret? Was he born that way? He said, no. He said, everywhere I go, I read. I'm like a sponge. I want to soak up knowledge. He says, if I'm sitting in the restaurant, I'll grab the ketchup bottle and read the label. Now, that may be for an IQ, but the same pathway is for wisdom in God's word. It's this sponge that we become, where we soak up God's word, but yet we know and have this understanding to repel what is not of God. Because that leads us in the wrong path, but wisdom in a pursuit of God, that leads us in good paths, blessed paths. And that's where our ear comes in, is we have to be willing to listen. Okay? So the ear has to hear it. Now, secondly, notice the heart has to apply it. Notice verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So it has to be applied, right? You have to apply it. And you know, what that takes is thinking through it. And there's a Bible word that I think helps us apply scripture, and that's the word meditate. Meditate. Psalm chapter 1 talks about this man who's like, he's planted by the rivers of water. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And of course, he's soaking up all the nutrients of the water, and of course, his leaves are growing and he's flourishing. There's fruit in his life. But conversely, there's this man that's out in the dry field. He's like a tree that's dried up and withering up. Well, what's the difference? The difference is that one is soaking up the word and the other is in a dry, barren field where there isn't much. And I'll tell you, folks, oftentimes this world is like that dry field. This world does not give us something to apply to give us wisdom. This world just gives us a lot of discouragement, a lot of defeat. But God gives us wisdom. So we have to apply it. We apply it by meditating on it, by thinking about it. Thinking. You know, I think this. Every sermon ought to be something for you to go home and think about. Amen. I think that. I believe that. Every sermon ought to be something you go home and just think about it. It's like that, like the old cow that chews on her cud and she brings it up and chews it back and swallows it and puts it down in another stomach. Later on, she brings it back, chews on it a little more. Goes back down to another stomach. I don't know how many stomachs a cow has, but three, four, five. All right, I got a five. Who'd give me six? I got a six. Who'd give me seven? Four. Just Google it, right? Google it. All right, it's got more than we got, all right? That I know. I got one. But it keeps bringing that one up. You know, a sermon ought to be like that. And your daily devotions ought to be like that. It ought to be something that you can bring back up and meditate on, because the meditation helps us apply it in our heart. And notice where it has to be applied is to our heart, right? That's the real us inside. We have to apply it to the real us. Amen? So it's applied in our heart. It's heard with our ear. It's applied in our heart. But notice the third thing is our voice cries out for it. According to verse 3, it says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Now, I have to be honest with you. I don't understand everything. But there have been times when I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking about something and I'm praying. And I'll say, just kind of out loud, "Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I don't understand. Will you help me understand?" I think this is good for us. I think it's good for us to go to God and cry out for wisdom. There's nothing wrong with in the morning, in your prayer time, going to God and saying, "Lord, I need greater wisdom." Well, if you raise kids in this day and age, you need some of God's wisdom in your mind and in your heart. And so the voice cries out for it. I think it's good as in prayers, we pray often out loud, "Lord, teach us wisdom. Help us to know. Help us to understand wisdom. Give me wisdom, Lord." And so I think that's what he's teaching us here. So the voice cries out for it. The heart applies it. The ear hears it. But notice the mind also seeks for it. Verse 4. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure." Now, what if I brought a genuine treasure map to you today? What if I brought you a genuine treasure map? And I said, whoever wants this treasure map, you can have it. Yeah, people would be jumping over each other to get that treasure map, wouldn't you? Right? Would you go home and put that treasure map in your paper file and just leave it in there? Uh-uh. You're going to go seek for that, aren't you? There's silver there. There's gold there. I'm going to go find that treasure. It's amazing what people will do to find a treasure. They found a Spanish ship that had sunk. And they thought it had sunk in deep water, and everybody was looking in the deep water for it. And over years, I think it was like the 1700s, but actually it sunk in a more shallow area, and people didn't really realize it. That ship had burned, and the sea had turned the ship into nothing, but in the bottom of it was gold. And, the sea washed over it, and you couldn't see it. But finally somebody figured it out, and they found all these Spanish coins and multi-millions of dollars worth of gold. But, you know, people give their life to seek for a treasure like that, don't they? You know? And so that is how wisdom ought to be in our life. We seek for it like silver. You know, remember Solomon? God told Solomon, "Anything you ask for, I'll grant it to you." You know, Solomon didn't ask for wealth, did he? He asked for wisdom. But you know, along with the wisdom came that wealth. So by seeking wisdom, we are seeking our own wealth or prosperity. Now, by the way, I'm not teaching you if you have wisdom, you'll be rich. But I'll tell you this, if you have wisdom, you won't be a fool with what you have. Amen? And that's a principle of Scripture. So So the mind is seeking for, are you seeking for wisdom? Are you wanting to be wiser than what you are? You say, how do you become wiser? Well, number one, you have to ingest scriptural principles in your life, right? How do you do that if you're not under the word and in church? It's hard to do. You say, well, I can read the Bible on my own. But really, how often do we? How often do we? So God's designed the church to be a place where wisdom can be given to us. And if we'll desire it, we'll seek for it, God will bless it. Well, then verse number 6, notice we see that it's the Lord that gives it. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is the one that gives wisdom. Where do you get wisdom from? You're going to get it from God. You say, well, I got it from a man. Well, where'd that man get it from? He probably got it from God, or some man from some man from some man who eventually got it from God. So wisdom, all wisdom comes from God. You know, Daniel reached a place where he needed wisdom. In Daniel chapter 2, go over to Daniel chapter 2. I want you to see this passage. The book of Daniel, chapter 2. So from Proverbs, you're going to turn right and go a bunch of pages, all right? Till you come to Daniel chapter 2. Now in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel grew up wise, okay? He grew up with godly parents, and he was brought to Babylon here in this passage and made to serve Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians during the captivity, okay? So he was favored and well-respected because he was a young man. Even though he was young at this passage in this time, he had wisdom, and the Nebuchadnezzar respected him. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream here, and he goes to him and he says, all right, we need you to interpret the dream. Well, he didn't know what the dream was, but he wanted to do what God would have him to do. So he goes to God about the dream. So in chapter number 2, look at verse number 19, and notice what the Bible says. It says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. And the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, that thou hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So you see that wisdom came from God. And God enabled Daniel to understand. And that's the point of it. Understanding comes from God. You know why? Because God's the watchmaker. God's the one who made us. God's the one who created us. So all wisdom ultimately is going to come from God. Now, notice now, verse 7. Now, why does God give this wisdom? Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, this is talking about somebody who's righteous. Now, we have to understand what a righteous person is, first of all. Is a righteous person a person who's perfect? No. Is a righteous person a person who's never sinned? No. What is a righteous person? Well, Scripture declares and teaches that when God has washed our sins away in his blood through salvation, We are then declared righteous in God. And it's not our own righteousness. It's His righteousness through His blood that has covered our sins and cleansed all our sins. When God looks at me, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But when God looks at me, He sees the blood of Christ applied to my heart. He does not see my sin. So because of that, He can declare me righteous. Even though in me is not righteousness, it's His righteousness which covers my sins that declares me righteous. So notice, here's the important part of what I'm trying to say, is that if you're going to have true wisdom and God's going to give it to you, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. You've got to put your faith and your trust in Christ and ask Him to come in and save you so that that blood can be applied. And when the blood's applied, God declares us righteous. Amen. Amen. There is no self-righteousness is no good. It's still clothed in the same old sinful flesh. But God's righteousness in us, covered by His blood, which only comes by asking Him to come into our heart and save us and wash of those sins. That's the only way that happens. Amen? Amen. So He gives it to the righteous, to those who are saved. And then He says, it causes understanding, verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. God says when you get saved, He then can give you a pathway of wisdom in your life. Amen? Here's how it works. When you get saved, God dwells in you, doesn't He? We know that the Holy Spirit moves inside of every Christian. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. Amen? And you have the Holy Spirit inside of you if you've trusted Christ. And when the Word of God is preached, it quickens the Spirit of God inside of us. It's like life. God made life by a male and a female. Amen? God made life by a male and a female. You know, homosexuality doesn't create life.
No.
Doesn't create life. Don't get me off on this subject. I got to stay here. Amen. Because I'll give you some wisdom on that subject. But I forgot where I was going here. All right. You messed my mind up. All right. Okay. So the Holy Spirit of God works together with the Word of God to create life. And that's God's way. And it's similar to a male and a female create life. That's how God did it. That's how God planned it. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God brings wisdom to our minds when we hear it. And so that is the connection. Then we meditate on it. And what do we do? What does that do? It causes us to make some changes of things in our life, right? It causes us to think differently and causes us to think in ways of wisdom. I don't think I'm going to go do that. Or I don't think that should be the best thing we do. It causes us to make changes, great or small, in our life for our good and God's blessings. You know, when I was growing up as a teenager, I had friends, and little by little, some of them just began to make the wrong choices. And you know, I could have followed along with that, but I'm glad that somewhere along the line, and I attribute a godly mother, a Christian school, and a godly pastor that I had growing up to this understanding that I better not follow that same path. If I go down that path, it's not going to be good. You know, years down the road, I look at the pathway some of them have chosen, and I see destruction and heartache and trouble And I thank the Lord for the wisdom that God gave me to not do that. Now, I'm no better than them. And I'm no better than anybody. And you are no better than anybody. But wisdom can help us make these decisions that cause us to understand God better. The Word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives, creates this understanding that leads us to the right way. And then notice how he closes here in verse number 9. He said, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path." You know, when we have wisdom, when we're pursuing wisdom, and we're pursuing it the way God wants it, when we pursue wisdom, I'll tell you what, God says, "I'm going to lead you in good paths, and I'm going to lead you in every good path." Amen. What a way to live life. You know, I see folks in their life, and they're not living by the Word of God. And you know, when you read a verse, it ought to help us to make changes in our life. For the good and the right. Because that verse is given to give us an understanding of the importance of what we're doing in our life. Wisdom. And so it leads us in every good path. Now, I don't know about you, but I like good paths. I like good paths. I don't like those paths that are no good. I like the good paths. I'll close with this silly illustration. My son-in-law, Ben, was doing a survey trip in Uganda before they moved there. And he was out walking in a field out there where the Africans were growing their crops, and they had a pathway worn through that field. And he's walking through there, and you know Ben's a big guy, and he's walking through there, and the path's narrow. But all of a sudden, he saw something big and black go right across his path. That's not a path I'm going to walk down again twice, right? Big old cobra or mamba or some snake crawled through that path. You know, here's the thing about wisdom. God's going to lead us in a good path. He's not going to lead us in a path of destruction. He's going to protect us. He's going to take care of us. And when bad things happen and we're on that path, God is still there to protect. And he's still there to take care of us. We have his promise, wisdom will lead us in every good path. What a blessing. Amen. All right, we'll stop there today. We'll pick up verse number 10. Next Sunday, hope this is a help to you, encouragement to your life. Amen. Father, thank you.